Welcome to DIY Portland, KBOO's monthly show about revolutionary do-it-yourself projects. I'm your host, Julie Sabatier, and this month's show is all about self-publishing in Portland. Portland is home to a lot of people who publish their own books and zines. Zines are small circulation publications on a variety of topics. Self-publishing is not exactly a new concept. Virginia Woolf and her husband had their own printing press, and Thomas Paine's Common Sense is considered by some to be the very first zine. Science fiction fanzines emerged in the 1930s. Punks, freaks, and other do-it-yourselfers expanded the concept in the 70s, creating zines to promote bands and shows. About two decades later, the Riot Girl feminists encouraged more women to make their own zines. These mostly photocopied and stapled localized publications have always been at the forefront of the DIY movement, helping people to connect and learn from each other's experiences. The Independent Publishing Resource Center is located in downtown Portland, tucked away on the second floor of an anonymous-looking office building just across the street from Powell's City of Books. This nonprofit organization provides a space where people can come to learn about self-publishing, form connections with other writers and artists, or just make some quick photocopies. Chloe Udaly is one of the co-founders of the IPRC.
My friend Rebecca Gilbert and I started the IPRC together. It was a project that evolved out of an office slash studio space that we shared on the fourth floor of this building that Reading Frenzy is in. And we didn't have a name for it. We just knew that there was a lot of interest in self-publishing and not a lot of access to resources, especially in the mid-90s. Like, not everyone had their own computer at that point, and or people needed training. And so we decided to just combine all our resources and start inviting our friends to come use it. And eventually a small board was put together and they came up with a name and we got it off the ground.
Pablo de Ocampo currently serves as executive director for the IPRC. He's one of the few paid staff members there, as the place is primarily run by volunteers.
It's like, I always feel like we're bragging, but there's really nothing like this anywhere. We're doing something that I think is really valuable and really amazing, and maybe something that can only happen in a city like Portland that has a wealth of people interested in doing self-publishing work and zines and book arts and things like that.
One of the great things about the Independent Publishing Resource Center is its expansive zine library.
It's about 5,500 titles now. We make an effort to, everything that goes into our library has been cataloged. So you know where things are. There's an electronic database that can point you to whatever you're looking for. If you're looking for a specific writer, a specific title, if you're looking for just a general subject matter, you can use our card catalog to look for things like that. You can read stuff here. You can check it out and take it home. It doesn't just sit on the shelf. I mean, if you look at our returns box, there's constantly things getting pulled off the shelf and getting reshelved.
Like the IPRC itself, the zine library is open to members and non-members alike, as long as they've signed up to get their free library card. The membership fee is on a sliding scale between $45 and $100. Members get open access to computer workstations, which are $5 an hour for non-members. They also get half price on photocopies and workshop fees, and open access to all the bookbinding and letterpress materials available at the IPRC. Members who join at the $100 level get the added benefit of having a zine of the month mailed to them. Alex Reck is a longtime IPRC volunteer, and she's currently the workshop coordinator there. Though she would probably never describe herself this way, Alex is somewhat of a self-publishing guru in Portland. She's had her own zine, Brain Scan, since 1997, and she's been working at Microcosm Publishing for the last 7 years, distributing zines and other small press publications. We'll hear more about that later on in the show. With her IPRC hat on, Alex was kind enough to give me a tour of the place.
The IPRC kind of becomes a hangout spot because it's right downtown, so people kind of stop in, browse, look at zines for a while, or just even like you're meeting someone here today, so that happens a lot. Let's see, we have a director and we have two other people who are paid to do things like outreach and workshop coordinating, and everyone else is a volunteer. We're open 7 days a week, but Sundays are only open for teen zine canteen, so these kids can come in and work on projects and stuff. We have a room over there which is just for workshops or meetings and things like that. And here we have a computer lab. All the computers, there's like four here, they're all have desktop publishing software, all sorts of programs, scanners and printers, and all internet accessible. We also have Wi-Fi for people to use too. And here we have the workshop room, or just a workroom. Pretty much anything you think of for printing and making zines, from glue sticks and staplers and scissors, all sorts of adhesives, bookbinding materials, rubber stamps, anything you can think of, lots of different kinds of art paper and things like that. We have a photocopy machine, which is 8 cents a side for non-members and 4 cents a side for members. And here is our, a lot less machine noise, is our small print shop. All of these cases are filled with lead type, and you have to take a workshop to be able to use this. And then after that, there's 2 free workshop days. You can come in, and there's someone who can supervise you and help you with projects. And we have these old tabletop printers. So who else? We have workshops. I'm the workshop coordinator, and I'm still working on getting more workshops and having people be aware of what we have going on, which is also available on our website. So there's workshops from like editing to learning about pre-press, just general zine workshops. And then this summer we do have the zine teen, or the zine camp for kids. So it's like a 4-week project in July for like high school kids to come in and learn about zines. There's a teacher who's just helping them learn about zines, helping them make zines, and then at the end they go to the zine symposium together. So it's kind of a process thing. And people just kind of work on their own projects. It's more like self-directed. We get a lot of phone calls from people coming in. They're like, oh, well, you published my book? And it's like, well, that's not really what we're about. We're about, like, helping you, you know, have the resources to do things yourself. So Independent Publishing Resource Center. That's what we are.
So she has successfully handed off the day-to-day duties to Pablo and volunteers like Alex. Chloe is still involved with the IPRC's advisory board.
It's been amazing to see it take on a life of its own. And I think it's a fantastic place. And, you know, I can stake claim to the title of co-founder, but it's really become something bigger and better than I think what we originally envisioned, and I can't take credit for that.
After helping to get the Independent Publishing Resource Center off the ground, Chloe opened her own bookstore for independently published materials called Reading Frenzy, which is now located right downstairs on Oak Street.
I'd say 98% of what's in the store is technically independent, largely small press or self-published, but it does run the gamut from really small handmade publications to what you'd think of as a little bit more mass media, glossy color advertising, but they're still independently published. And, you know, obviously there's a special focus on zines and artist books. And, you know, it's general interest, I guess, within the scope of alternative culture. So we don't have a lot of hunting or bridal magazines, but if someone self-published one and brought it to us, we could.
Reading Frenzy will celebrate its 12th birthday in the fall. One of the things that has kept current local titles in the store since its inception is the no-strings consignment policy.
Which is a pretty rare thing for a bookstore to do. It means that any local publisher can bring their title to the store and get space on the shelf for a certain number of weeks. That has just helped create a little hub of local publishing activity, I suppose, or given people a rare outlet and a place to see what other people are doing, a place to meet people.
Chloe can depend on local content to walk in the door without having to seek it out most of the time, but she also receives a lot of titles through the mail.
You know, people send us stuff every day because there's really only a handful of bookstores in the country that specialize in this area. And there's also some other distributors that carry things. I read reviews. You know, it's probably the same way that any bookstore buyer would operate, just in a different strata of the publishing world.
Reading Frenzy, like its upstairs neighbor, the IPRC, relies on a few staff members and a few more volunteers to keep things running. Jill Richardson is a regular Reading Frenzy volunteer who works 4-hour shifts behind the counter at the store a few days a week. She says she enjoys the opportunity to keep up with her zine reading and find out about new titles when they come in.
Well, the first ones that I really got into were things like Dishwasher Pete and On Subbing, and then as I worked here, I got more into like Jeffrey Brown and Clutch and Invincible Summer. Dishwasher Pete's just about a guy who went across the United States washing dishes. And then the On Subbing one it was a guy I knew that I used to go to his house and see house shows at, and it was just about him being a substitute teacher and writing his life about it. And I don't know, it's kind of inspiring, like reading Jeffrey Brown, because it's more of a comic. And so it just makes you realize that it doesn't have to be anything pretentious when you're writing it, you know? It's just how you feel, and it's just directly on paper.
Chloe has a loose set of criteria for what she allows in the store. Her only strict caveats are publications that grossly infringe on copyright laws, include child pornography, or hate speech.
And luckily, we did get something that was a copyright infringement. We had to pull that on advice of our friendly attorney. Now with what's in the rest of the store, it's up to me.
While she says there are plenty of titles in the store that she does not find personally interesting, Chloe came up with a wide-ranging list of publications she enjoys when I asked her what she likes to read.
Doris and Comet Bus, Dishwasher, Nancy's Magazine was one of my favorites, Animal Review. My friend Jana used to do a zine called Flatter, which was very fabulous. I read Bitch and Bust and Giant Robot, which, you know, are veering away from, I guess, the zine tradition. But to be honest, I'm so inundated with this stuff that when I go home, I largely am reading things that we don't carry at Reading Frenzy. That's just a running joke among my friends. They come over and there is a rack full of cool independent literature, but on my coffee table you will find lots of not cool, not independent, you know, anything from New Scientist to Martha Stewart. I like to think of myself as a well-rounded reader.
If you're just tuning in, this is DIY Portland, and this month we're talking about independent publishing and self-publishing. Portland is home to one of the better-known distributors of zines and independently published books, Microcosm Publishing. Joe Beal started Microcosm in his bedroom in Cleveland, Ohio. It began as a DIY record label and zine distribution effort, known in the world of zines as a distro. He met Alex Reck through her zine Brainscan, and they began trading letters.
He carried my zine in his distro for a while, and then we met, and then just as a friend, I'm like, hey, want to move to Portland? And he said, the next person who asked me to move in with him, I'm going to. So he moved across the country on a whim and started to do a whole new thing.
At the time that I was recording interviews for this show, Joe was on tour with Microcosm Publications and was not available to speak with me. But I got a lot of great insights from Alex and Microcosm volunteer Sue Moffitt about how the company has grown in the decades since it started. Here's Alex again.
And the first book we published was Stolen Sharpie Revolution, which was the book that I helped edit. And it's about basically a DIY zine book, kind of handbook in a way. It started with you know, there's all these things that happen in zines and all these things that people need a little direction with. And so I just started making lists of things to put in it. And Joe looked at me like, you are never going to be able to steal enough photocopies for the demand that this book's going to have. So he's like, well, let's just publish it. And I'm like, publish it? Yeah. And then from there, it's just grown.
Though their main focus is on publishing, Microcosm also makes t-shirts, patches, stickers, and buttons with clever images and messages like "You can't hug with nuclear arms" and one with a picture of a bike that reads "Put the fun between your legs." Their headquarters is currently housed in the basement of Liberty Hall in North Portland, where they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Though the operation began as a strictly mail order outfit, now most of the orders are online. Microcosm has a small staff of dedicated people and a couple of volunteers. Everyone I spoke to said it's the best place they've ever worked. The company is currently making the transition to collective ownership and consensus decision-making, so everyone involved can have a chance to weigh in on what to carry in the store.
We decide to carry someone's zine. We carry their zine for, you know, a couple years. We realize that we can never, like Dave Roach, who did On Subbing, we could never keep his zines in stock. Everyone was always ordering them. He couldn't make enough copies for us. And we're like, Dave, we want to publish your book. So it's kind of like stuff that we really appreciate, and we don't accept submissions or anything, so it all is culled from our catalog or people we've already had working relationships with. We distribute hundreds of zines. We probably published maybe 20 things.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Sue Moffitt started volunteering at Microcosm when she came to town from Toronto, where she published her own vegan dessert cookbook called Lickin' the Beaters.
You could spend like days just hanging out at Microcosm and like flipping through zines. So just I kind of like get into this headspace, this sort of tunnel vision where like suddenly like time will stop. I'll pick up the zine and be like, oh, I haven't seen this before. I start flipping through it, and it's just totally amazing to sort of get into someone's life just for like a split second kind of thing while I'm packing orders. Yeah, it's a good place to work.
I asked Alex about her zine, Brain Scan, which fits into the category of personal zines or per zines.
It's definitely something that's changed as I've changed over, you know, 9 years. And I just kind of tell stories about what I do. I mean, the last one I did was kind of a three-part thing that fit like a Venn diagram. It was stories about living in Utah, stories about living in Portland, and then stories where the two kind of meshed together. One before that I wrote about working on the zine symposium, working at the Rock and Roll Camp for Girls. So it just kind of like, it depends on what my influences in my life are at the time, whether they're people or experiences. Sometimes they're about travel. Sometimes they're about my pseudo-philosophical ramblings about things. So, yeah.
Alex and Sue are both creative people who are drawn to Portland, a place they see as unique in its creativity.
The only city that I've ever been to where, yeah, people work a little bit, like, for making money and paying rent, and work a lot on their own projects. The only city.
I think Portland definitely, for some reason, has this DIY feeling about it. Like, you know, I remember talking with Greg, who's a zine librarian at the IPRC, and he's like, this is a really great city. You can say, I have this idea for a project, and 10 people will go, that's a great project, how can I help you with it? And I don't know why it's that way. You know, I think that for some reason there's some kind of spirit here, and it grabs people from other places that want to move here, and they just want to work on projects too.
Portland will soon be grabbing more people from around the U.S. and Canada to gather in Stumptown for the 6th annual Zine Symposium at Portland State University, August 11th through 13th. This free event is billed as a 3-day conference and zine social. Jillian Beck and Teresa Moulter were some of the original organizers of the Zine Symposium, and this year they're both involved with planning and fundraising for the event. Here's Jillian.
The main purpose is to get people who do zines together, because doing zines can be a very solitary experience. And zinesters don't really have that many opportunities to meet each other in person. Another big part of the Zine Symposium is introducing new people to zines. So we do outreach and beginner workshops so people can find out what is a zine and why would you want to do one. And then also the DIY workshops, both art workshops and zine making workshops, so that people can work on their skills and learn some new stuff.
There are other events that bring zinesters together in other cities, but very often these are simply tabling events where people go to trade zines for a day. Portland Zine Symposium stands out as a full weekend event with evening activities and a slew of interesting workshops.
I'm teaching one on bookbinding for kids, and I'm really excited because I like to get kids involved in zines and art. But one of the other ones I'm excited about,
Queer Zinesters, led by Sassafras and Kestrel, is going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah, they're awesome. Cascade AIDS Project.
I'm super excited about the one by the teen group at Cascade AIDS Project called Teen to Teen. Is their workshop the Sex and Zines one?
I think so. I'm not sure.
The Teen to Teen group at Cascade AIDS Project has done some incredible sex education zines. I got one last year called Dry Humping Saves Lives, and they're brilliant. And I can't wait to go to that workshop.
Oh, there's going to be an artist trading card workshop done by Shelley and Becky, who are two past organizers and people involved in the Zine Symposium, and I'm sure that's going to be really fun and a big mess, a really fun big mess.
The fun doesn't stop when the day is over. The Zine Symposium continues into the night with a zine reading, raffle, and on Saturday, the Zinester Prom. The daytime activities are completely free, though you may want to bring money to buy zines and t-shirts and other cool DIY stuff. Teresa and Jillian emphasize that the Zine Symposium is for anyone who wants to be there, just as zines are for anyone who wants to make one.
Anyone who has something to say can make a zine, and some people wouldn't identify themselves as zinesters, but if you're publishing any kind of newsletter, we'd probably consider you a zinester.
Yeah. I've seen 10-year-olds do zines. I've seen grandparents do zines. I've seen there's a really interesting subgroup of moms, stay-at-home moms who make zines. Not all of them are stay-at-home moms, but a lot of moms have been making zines. I think, you know, they kind of feel stuck at home with kids sometimes, and it's a way to communicate with other people and to stay in touch with your own creativity, mm-hmm. rather than just being an art appreciator or finger paint, to be able to do your own writing and art and at the same time spend time with your kids. So I think the East Village Inky is the most famous one, but yeah. Got Miranda here in Portland, and those are cool.
Oh, there are a lot of comic artists who put out their own comics, and I think that's really... We have a lot of them in Portland. Sean Granton and Greg Clutch of Clutch Zine and Nicole Georges. There are a lot of autobiographical comic artists here. So that's a really cool subgroup.
And I like the zines done by someone who has an unusual job.
Yeah, the librarian zine is really good. What's mm-hmm. that called? The Ghost of Ready Reference?
Uh-huh.
That's a really good one. And then I read this zine when I interned at Reading Frenzy for a summer when I was 19. And one of my favorite zines I found there was Guinea Pig Zero. And it was a zine by a guy who made money by submitting himself to medical tests. That was a really interesting one. It was just like to read all these really in-depth personal writings by somebody whose life you know nothing about. Like you can just not imagine being that person is really interesting.
Like many of the other people I interviewed for this show, Jillian seemed to think that Portland is uniquely suited to the zine culture.
So many people in Portland do zines. I think it's partly just because there are so many young people in Portland. And also, there's just a lot of creative and artistic people in Portland. And a lot of other parts of Portland's art culture and music culture have come from a background of groups of people who do a lot of zines. And so lots of zinesters also move to Portland because their friends who are zinesters lived here, their pen pals and stuff. And we know a bunch of people who have moved to Portland because they came to the zine symposium one year and they loved it so much that they moved here and started organizing the zine symposium.
Adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell. The man on the street might just as well be. The man on the street might just as well. The man on the street might just as well be.
That's all the time we have for this month's show. You've been listening to DIY Portland. I'm your host, Julie Sabatier. If you want to find out more information about the Independent Publishing Resource Center, you can visit their website at iprc.org. And if you want to stop into Reading Frenzy to check out some of the zines they have in stock, the store is located on Oak Street, just east of 10th Avenue, across from Powell's main store on Burnside. To order from Microcosm, you can visit them in person at Liberty Hall or virtually at microcosmpublishing.com. The Zine Symposium will be August 11th through 13th at Portland State University. It is a free event, and you can find out more about it at their website, which is pdxzines.com. This is DIY Portland. The show is on the third Thursday of every month at 10 a.m. Podcasts and downloads are available at radioforall.net. That's radio, the number 4, ALL.net. And it's also listed in iTunes podcasts. Tune in next month on August 17th at 10 a.m., for a show exploring artists building community through collective creative spaces. And I'll be tabling at the Zine Symposium. If you'd like to come by and say hi or get a CD of this show or past shows, I'll have them available at the table. I hope to see you there.
Outside, outside the world. Out there you don't hear the echoes and calls, but the steel eye, tight jaw. Say it all, say it all. But the white say it all, say it all, say it all, say somebody got to say it all. Somebody got to say it all. I'm so nervous, I'm so tense, my heart can't forget about this self-defense.
but I know this can't last.
So
I've come to Coldplay, but I know this can't last. Say it all, say it all, say it all, say it all, say somebody got to say it all. Somebody got to say it all. Yeah, adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. Frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell. The man on the street might just